Here, we're going to get in the Word of God in just a minute. It's time to prepare our hearts because we know when the Holy Spirit's presence just comes, it fills your heart. There's a fullness of Christ that we know is in the atmosphere. And we embrace it. We know He's going to fill us up with more love, more peace, and more joy. So why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts. Let's start off with the word of prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we come into Your most awesome presence. Your holy presence is what we desire. And I ask You now, Lord, as our minds, our souls, our spirits are in tune, Lord, to Your Spirit's voice, I pray You will speak light into us. Speak to us in ways that will truly touch our hearts, that will truly transform us into that person You want us to be. Lord, we come to give You glory, all the honor, and all the praise. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God and praise God. Well, if you take a look at your notes, today, the title of my sermon is No White Elephant Christmas Gifts from God. No White Elephant Gifts from God. You know, many years ago, I was invited to this Christmas party where everyone was required to bring a white elephant gift. You guys ever heard of that before, a white elephant gift? And basically, what it is something cheap or weird that you own. Because basically someone gave it to you. They wanted to give you a unique gift, so it's okay, I'm going to get this for this person because I know they're going to be blown away. Or it could have been that you actually bought it for yourself, but you weren't in your right mind. But let me give you a little bit of a history of the white elephant gift. Basically, it got its name because in some Asian countries, the white elephant was considered to be a sacred animal, the white elephant. So basically, they said, you know what, because they're sacred, we're not going to put it to work. So all the, you know, other normal gray elephants, they would be hauling things and doing all this work, but not the white elephant. They would be just be sitting in a corner or just, you know, doing nothing. And that's what its purpose, its role was, just to relax, take it easy. Doesn't it sound good? But that's what it was good for. Nothing. It was just there because it was there. So you think about the white elephant gift, something that basically we don't use, something we just kind of maybe toss it on the side, we put it in a barrage and it's collecting dust. And you know what? It has no purpose. Think about this. You can probably think of some things that you have that are white elephant gifts, like something like fluorescent socks or painting of dogs playing poker. You've seen that before, right? And you know, it's just probably sitting in your garage because someone gave it to you. Or it could be like animal figurines that are made out of golf balls. You ever seen that? You know, it looks like a dog, but it's made out of golf balls. And I got that gift before. I think you got it too, yeah? And we just kind of like toss it on the side. Well, you know, white elephant gifts have the same purpose probably as like a fruitcake. Because think about this, most people don't like fruitcakes, but I kind of like them, to tell you the truth. And they're basically, people believe they're made to be given away and to be get rid of. And the goal with the white elephant gift is to give it to some poor, unsuspecting soul, preferably someone that doesn't like you. That's what people usually think, I gotta tell you, right? You guys know what I'm talking about. And a white elephant gift is a second or third rate gift. It's not something you want to give as your best. It's second or third rate or even less than that. It's an outcast gift. It's a thrift store reject, you can call it. It's the kind of thing you want so bad to throw away in the trash, but you can't just bring yourself to do it. You guys know what I'm talking about? Because in your mind, you're thinking, oh, it might be worth something in the future. And a good example of this, I'm going to show you, is a coconut monkey bank that I got in one of these parties. Hey, pretty cool, yeah? And I gotta tell you, I held on to this for a long, long time. Too long, I think. Because basically, you can put money in this thing. Look, you can collect all your coins and put it in this monkey bank. It's made out of a coconut. And I thought it was pretty cool when I got it, but someone obviously didn't think it was so cool. That's why I don't have it anymore. I wanted to show it to you guys today, but she said, I gave it away. I go, oh man, a white elephant gift, I'm sure. But here's the thing, you know, usually these kinds of gifts, they're giving us a joke at Christmas parties at the office, and the main purpose is to make everyone, what, laugh. And because they want to see it as a unique, unwanted piece of junk that you've been probably longing to get rid of. And so now people just bring all their junk and say, okay, look at what I got. And I got to tell you, this year my daughter and her classmates, they're participating in something similar. It's called the Secret Santa. But instead of giving something you don't want, you're supposed to draw names and you're supposed to find that gift that you're going to make that person happy. You're going to get them so excited, wow, for me. And so, you know, you think about this, you're under a little pressure because you're responsible to just get that one gift for that one person. And usually if that person opens the gift and there's disappointment on their face, because I've seen this before, if someone opened the gift and go, oh, that's nice. And suddenly you become Mr. or Miss Unpopular. And so, you know, I know my daughter, she's thinking, oh, Dad, I got to get the best gift for this friend. And I said, don't worry, you know, just relax. Don't take it so seriously. But I don't want everyone to think that I'm not good at giving gifts. I said, don't worry. As long as it's from your heart, people will know. I'd just like you to imagine just for a moment that you're drawing names, let's say, at your workplace. And you drew the name of this one coworker you were hoping not to get. Think anybody, but not this one person. And let's say this person has treated you badly in the past. Maybe this person has lied to you, has spread rumors about you, maybe even stole something from you, or even criticized you and reported you to the supervisor for every little mistake that you have done. This person wasn't nice to you at all. Let me ask you, what kind of gift would you give to this person? Yeah, would they be a prime candidate for the white elephant gift? Well, yeah, probably some people, yeah, I'm going to give them something I want to get rid of. Now, just imagine this now, though. Imagine that there's this new rule that's introduced this year. That person whose name you drew is allowed to request anything they wanted, and you are required to give it to them. Anything in your possession, if they say they want it, you got to give it to them. And it so happens that this person that you don't like, or he or she doesn't like you very much, has demanded your most prized material possession in the whole world. Maybe it's your boat. Maybe it's your car. Maybe it's your horse. Maybe it's a dog of yours. A dog of yours. Don't say, Omar and Tina, they just got a new dog. But let's say it could be your basketball that was autographed by Michael Jordan himself. Oh, and now they say, oh, I want that one. Or it could be a precious heirloom that was passed on to you from generations and generations before you. Or maybe it's just a picture of you and your dad holding your first fish that you caught together. And now this person says, I just want that one. Let me ask you, would you give it to them? Well, today we're going to look at God's gift-giving pattern and see what we can learn about the way that God gives, the importance of how he is so willing to give of his best to us. And as you can tell from the title of this sermon, we're going to be focusing on the fact that God's way of giving never includes a second or third rate gift. So what is so special about God's giving? Well, I'm just going to give you a short list of some of the things that the scripture tells us about the way he gives. Let's look at number one here. God gives different kinds of gifts that cannot compare, write in your blank, cannot compare to any other. So the question here is, what are some of God's gifts to us? Let's just review some of them in this sample list. Well, first of all, we know God gives us eternal life. He tells us in the scripture, look at what it says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But the what? The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So eternal life, you got to understand. A lot of people miss this. The very fact that eternal life is a gift from him. He gives it to us as a gift. The second one is peace. Look what it says there in John 14:27. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Well, the third one is grace and faith for salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9. Look what it says. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the what? The gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. Here's another gift. Grace and faith. Knowing that we are saved by His grace. And that because we have the faith to believe, we are saved. The next one here, it says, wisdom for the trials of life. Look what it says here in James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives what? Generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Another pretty cool gift from God. He gives us wisdom. If you lack knowledge or wisdom, you simply ask for it, and he says it will be given to you generously. The next one is daily provision for needs. Look what it says here in Matthew 6:31-33. It says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. This is another gift that God gives us. The very fact that you know, if you believe in God, all your needs will be taken care of. He tells us this. You trust in him, God says, I will provide for your every need. The last one here, it says, other blessings. John 1:16, it says, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. One blessing after another. And if you're tuned into the Holy Spirit, if you trust in him, I got to tell you, it's pretty cool. As a believer, you know every day God says, I'm going to just add another blessing, and another blessing, and another blessing, and another blessing. He keeps on giving it to us because he loves us so much. And it tells us here, one blessing after the other. And as long as you're living a life that is right, that is true to him, God will not stop it. That will keep flowing into your life as you keep living a life that is true to him. So here's the question. So what is God's style of giving? Well, number one here, he says here, his gifts are always good. Always good. He will never give you something that is rotten or something that he's trying to get rid of. He will never give you a fruitcake. No, just kidding. He'll never give you something that you're going to go, wow, what is this, God? This is something that you're trying to get rid of. You're discarding. That's why I got this. God will never do that. Look what it says here in James 1:17. It says, every good and perfect gift is from where? From above, from our Lord God. He says, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. So let me ask you a question. Do any of these gifts that I just talked about, do they qualify as a white elephant gift? We talked about eternal life, peace, grace and faith, wisdom, daily provision for our needs. Are these white elephant gifts? No, they're the very best. That's what he does. He wants to give his very best to you and to me. Where else can you get eternal life as a gift? It's only from our Father God that he can give this to us. And the very fact that he wants to provide for our every need, it shows how much he cares about us. Because all these gifts are awesome gifts. And they're worth having and worth desiring because you know what? It comes from the very hand of God. Openly says, I want to give this to you because you're my child. You are so dear to me. I want to just give this all to you. And as we receive them, we know this is what God desires of us, to just say, Lord, I want it from you. Lord, I just want it more because that's what you want to do. I'm going to receive it. Well, number two here, it says his gifts are extremely generous. Look what it says here in 1 John 3:1. It says, see what great love the Father has lavished. What does it mean to lavish? To give excessively, right? That's what God, our Father God does. He doesn't just want to give you a little bit. He wants to lavish upon you. And it says here that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Wow. Look what it says in Ephesians 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in who? Christ, in His Son, Jesus Christ. Know that every blessing that you have is through His Son, Jesus Christ, because you have faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's where your blessing comes from. It's through Jesus Christ that you are blessed. And you know, God, He makes us heirs, not with Bill Gates or the Rockefellers, because someone said, well, I wish I was an heir. Bill Gates, imagine. Oh, the kind of inheritance I would have. But you know what? I would rather know and believe the very fact that what the scripture tells me, I am an heir with Christ. Nothing else matters. I don't want to be an heir of anybody else, but just knowing that I am heir of Christ. And how is that for thinking big? Because that's what God tells us. We are an heir of Christ. The point here is that we want to reflect God's giving pattern. And in order to do that, we got to stop thinking, oh, what can I get for myself? Because that's what the world thinks, especially during the time of Christmas. We got to teach our children, right? We always teach our children, it's not about getting gifts. It's not about yourself. It's what you can do for others. It's how you can bless others. And that's the question that we got to ask ourselves. Is our mindset right? Because, yeah, our thinking should be, how can I bless this person? If you wake up every morning and you think about that, instead of saying, okay, what can I get for myself today? What can I go to my parents and ask for today? Or my spouse or whoever. Instead of saying, no, what can I gain? Say, how can I bless someone today? And you go straight to God and you ask Him, say, Lord, what can I do to bless someone who is in need today? I've got to tell you, if you start doing that every day, and then so the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and you start blessing others, oh, you're going to have such a happy life. Really, this is the secret to happiness in life. When you take the focus off of yourself, and you put it on others, you start thinking of ways you can bless others. You, yourself, will be blessed. Because God will see to it that you're blessed. Amen? Amen? Because you know what? God's motivation for giving is what? Love. And think about this. Isn't it the sad truth, though, that when sometimes we get in the mood of just wanting to give, we find ourselves giving out of obligation instead of a desire to bless that person. And when you do it out of mere obligation, I mean, you lose the heart of really why you should give. Because you know what I mean, right? If somebody gave you a gift, now you feel like, oh man, I'm obligated to give this person a gift now. I ain't kidding you. I heard people getting upset at that other person because they gave them something. So why did they have to give me something? Now I gotta go shopping, I gotta go stand in line and get them something. Oh, the nerve of that person giving me a gift. I'm not kidding, I seen that, I heard it. I'm going, really? You should be blessed that you're getting something. But no, they get upset because now they got to fight the traffic and, oh man, go look for something. Oh man, I just spent 2 hours in the shopping mall because they got me something. Oh, be blessed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that someone cares about me so much they want to give me something. And sometimes, you know what, we feel like we have to give because it'll make us feel better about ourselves. And that's the wrong way of thinking, too. Because it's not about yourself. When you give with your heart, thinking about a good person. Amen? You know, the story goes of an elderly woman who realizes that she had forgotten to mail out her Christmas cards to her family and her friends. And so Christmas is only like a few days away, so she hurries into the store and she buys a box of 50 Christmas cards. And she doesn't look what's written on the inside because, oh, I've got to get these out immediately. Otherwise, it's not going to be on time. So all she does, she takes out the cards and she signs it. She doesn't even look what's in there. And she mails it immediately. And after mailing it, she returns home and finds that there are two leftover cards in the box. And now she's curious as to what is written on the inside. And as she opens it, she reads it, she's kind of shocked. You know what it says in the card? It says, Merry Christmas, your gift is on the way. And she goes, And she freaks out. And you know, to save face and to avoid embarrassment, what does she do? She later sends them all gift cards. But here's the thing though. She does it grudgingly and with an uncheerful heart. She now feels obligated to send them more than just a card. Can you just imagine this? She's putting these gift cards and going, oh man, why I gotta do this? Oh man, geez, why did I make that mistake? Oh, you don't deserve that card, but I gotta send it to you anyway. Just imagine giving with that kind of heart. That's not right. And I gotta admit, there are times I've gotta catch myself too. Because when we give, we gotta give with a cheerful heart. And there are times when we give out of obligation or to give for the wrong reasons, then you know what? God is not pleased. And I want you to understand, did you know that, or did you realize that God does not have to give us gifts? Yeah, we don't deserve them anyway. Because if we deserve gifts, they would not be gifts. You know what they would be? They would be wages. Because we have to earn them. Right? Then we deserve it. But no, God gives it as a gift, a free gift. He says, I want to give it to you because I care about you. Because I want to please you. I want to make you happy. Because a real gift is something given out of the desire to bless that person receiving the gift, not out of obligation. We should never give out of obligation. We give because it's in our heart to give. And did you know Scripture contains about 330 references to blessing? And over 300 of those refer to God's blessing His people. Over 300. Does God love to give? You better believe it. Over 300 references about God wanting to bless His people. And what is the motivation for God showering His people with blessing? The bottom line is that He loves us. He has a great love for you and for me. And His love for each and every one of us and for the whole world. His love is so big for us that He just wants to give us more. But our lives gotta truly reflect His Son Jesus Christ. That's the only way. I gotta tell you, you wanna be truly blessed by the very hand of God, you gotta make sure you're living a life that is true to Him. A life that turns away from sin. A life that turns away from the things of the world. If you walk on the right path that God has for you, just watch that shower of blessings that will come upon your life. I've heard of it, I've seen it many times over, especially in the park where people start tuning into the Word of God. And they come to me and I just love it. When I just step right onto the grass at the park, people say, Pastor, you know what God did for me? God gave me a job. God gave me a place to live. And I just go, whoa. And just one after the other. Because why? Because they chose to live a life that is right before the Lord. And God says, I will bless you abundantly. This is key, everyone. You must have a heart that is right, that is true to God. And God, He will take care of the rest. You don't have to worry. Look what it says here in John 3:16-17. We all know this scripture. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have what? Eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to what? Save the world through Him. And there is no doubt that the Father loves to give to His children. He gets excited about giving gifts to us. And think about it for a minute. Why do we give gifts to our family during Christmas? Yeah, you know, it's a tradition, right? Especially during Christmas. We've got to exchange gifts. But you know what? The bottom line is just the desire to see, you know, the person's face light up when you give them a gift that they really like. Especially with children, yeah? I see, especially my daughter, when she opens a gift, she's going, shoo, shoo. Just like, and you see her, for me, Daddy? And she's like, oh man, she's so excited. She gives me hugs and kisses, and you just feel like a warmth inside of you. You see, just all excited about, you know, about how they just wanting to receive gifts. I got to share this one incident with you. I was about 12 years old at the time. I remember my seventh grade teacher, talked about the importance of giving. And you know, I was at a Catholic school at that time, and she quoted Jesus. She says, it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so I was thinking, you know what? I know that it seems that all the years I'm so excited about receiving gifts. Oh, I want to bless someone this year. I remember thinking like that. You know, I was like about 12 or 13 years old. And you know, I remember that year I saved up like $15. That's all I had to my name. In my wallet, I had $15. And that's a lot of money. This is 1970s, by the way. So $15 was a lot of money back then. And so I said, you know what? I want to bless my mom. So I decided I want to buy her favorite candy from C's, you know, chocolate candies. And so £2 cost $9. And I was thinking, okay, I want to get her that. And so she dropped me off at Ala Moana, and I said, you know what, Mom, I'm going to catch the bus home because I wanted to surprise her. I didn't want her to see what gift I got her. And you know what, I wasn't really good at catching the bus. This is only my second or third time catching the bus. And to make a long story short, I was supposed to be going back home to Kalihi Valley, but I ended somewhere near the Pali Highway. And I remember I called my mom. I said, Mom, and this is like maybe late in the afternoon. Mom, I'm lost. And I remember when she picked me up, she was a little bit upset. Said, how do you get lost? How do you end up in the Pali? You go in Kalihi Valley. I go, I don't know, Mom. But then she kind of realized. She kind of looked in the bag and realized there were C's chocolates. And she goes, going, what's that for? She goes, for you, Mom. And then she gave me a little smile and she goes, oh, you didn't have to do that. And it's kind of funny. I remember just holding, you know, the 2 pounds of chocolate. And I remember I got my dad a pencil sharpener for like $3. Because that's all I had, right? But the very fact is, you know, when my mom saw that, it was Christmas shopping for them. My mom was very touched, I got to tell you. And there's truly something special about giving a gift to someone that is straight in the heart. You can tell, right? If someone can just give a gift, okay, here, Christmas time, give you a gift, here. But no, when someone says, I want to give this to you. And they don't have to tell you, oh, I love you. You already know as they're giving this gift. It's got love written all over it. It's straight from the heart. And all of you with children, you know what that feeling is, right? Well, I want you to magnify that feeling many, 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 many times over, and you get a sense of how God wants to bless his children. God gives what he gives to us out of pure love. I want you to understand that. He loves us so much. And he gives because he loves. He wants to bless us. He wants to give us gift. He wants to shower his love on us. Overflowing of his love in our lives. Look what Jesus says in Matthew 7, 9 through 11. It says here, or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And Jesus makes it very plain and clear, as a man who has evil in his heart would still want to give good gifts to his children, can you imagine our Father God, who has a perfect, loving heart, that he wants to give us the kind of gifts that truly he wants to please us. He wants to bless us, overflowing. There's nothing but his best and lots of it in our lives. Because, you know, I remember watching this documentary one time where it talked about inmates who were receiving visits from their family. And you know, a lot of times the inmates, they could get jobs, you know, in prison, and whatever money they saved up, they would give it all to their kids. When the kids would come, they would say, oh, it's all for you guys. I just want you to get something you want. And you know, they're in there, and they may be very violent and, you know, very angry spirited, but when their children come, they say, oh, I want to bless you. But Jesus is making the point, knowing that, yeah, even an evil person, you have an evil, you know, heart, they still want to bless their children. Now just imagine our Father God, who has a perfect, loving heart, how much he wants to bless us. Can you just imagine the overflowing of God's goodness that's in your life? Because He's allowing it to continually flow because He knows that you are sincere about your relationship with Him. Wow! Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
That's what God does. He wants to keep it going and more of it. Have you guys ever seen the movie Mommy Dearest? It was in the 1970s that he came out, and it tells a story of a bitter relationship between this actress, her name is Joan Crawford, with her daughter, who is named Christine Crawford. And I gotta tell you, one of the most memorable parts of the movie is when an interviewer comes to their house, and the interviewer asks Joan, right, Joan Crawford, her husband and the kids about their Christmas celebration. And when the interviewer asks Joan about the children opening the gifts, you know, given by their parents and their loyal, adoring fans, you know, the answer was kind of shocking. You know what she said, Joan Crawford? She says that the children had to earn the gifts before they could receive them. So all the gifts that were given to the children, they can't just take it and open it. They have to earn it. Wow. And this doesn't sound much like a gift, does it? Because I'm sure the gifts themselves were pretty enjoyable for the kids, but the thought of earning the gift kind of defeats the purpose of giving, don't you think? Because when you give, you want the person to be happy, but instead, no, say, no, you want this gift? Work for it. Oh. And requiring someone to earn your gift does not reflect the character of God. What if God wanted to bless you or give you something? Okay, Ben, if you want this, you got to make sure you do this, you do that. You got to go to, you know, Bible study. You got to do this. You got to do that. And what if God says, the only condition that you receive this gift is if you do as I tell you? How would you receive this gift? You kind of go, I want this gift very badly, so okay, I'll do it. You're going to do it with a heart that is not true. See what I'm saying? It has to come from within. It has to be something you decide to do. That way, your love to God will be expressed genuinely. It's never forced. And that's what the Bible tells us. You never force someone to give. You never force someone to do anything. You just encourage them and you tell them this is the best way. Then they will receive God in a way that is true. Amen? So here's the question. So what is the most important thing we can do with God's gift? Well, number one here, it says, receive the gift of God for yourself. You know, as I mentioned in John 3:16-17 earlier, you guys know the scripture. I'm just going to read it to you again. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. And God gave His Son so that He could give us eternal life. Can you see that? He gave His Son, Jesus, so that in exchange we can have eternal life. He gave us the ultimate gift. He gave His one and only Son as a present, as a gift to us, so that we can truly have life eternally with Him. And the Bible tells us that this eternal life is a free gift of God. Do you have to earn it? No. God says, I give it to you freely. But you know something, though? Something interesting about a gift. Not only is it not earned, it is not automatic. And what do I mean by that? For a gift to really matter to the person that it is intended for, it has to be received by the person. You know what I'm saying? And the person has to take possession of it. It cannot be earned. No amount of good works will do it. I want you to think about this for a second. If you were to name a person who has done the most good in the world, who do you think of? Just yell out some names. The person who has made a significant contribution to the world, has done a lot of good. Okay, Jesus. Who else?
John F. Kennedy.
Okay, good.
Billy Graham.
Mother Teresa. Okay, anyone else?
Martin Luther King.
Good. Anyone else?
Pastor Ben.
Praise God. Anyone else? Lady Diana, okay, good. Anyone else? Well, you know, I think about, like, you know, Bill Gates, too. Did you know Bill Gates contributed millions upon millions of money to charities and all that? And, you know, there's a lot of people you can think of, right, that basically have either put in their time or their money or some form of effort in trying to bless others. But the question I want you to ask yourself, all the good that these people, that they have done, just based on their works or their contributions, will that get them into heaven? Just based on these things? No. The question, yeah, the answer is no. Not according to God. And since He's the one who makes the decision, we have to take heed to what His scripture says. I want you to look in your notes what it says in Isaiah 64:6. Look what it says there. We are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible basically tells us that all our personal righteousness, all the goodness that we have and have done on our own now, is nothing but filthy rags to God, and they don't get us into heaven. Because sometimes people say, oh, but I did all this good. That's my ticket to heaven. But the Bible says, that's not what's going to take you. You could be doing good every day of your life. That's not going to get you to heaven. Because there's only one way. We talked about this earlier. It's only through His Son, Jesus Christ. And in Ephesians 2:8-9, I read that earlier. It says, for it is by grace that you have been what? Saved. Through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by what? Works, so that no one can boast. It's not by your works. It's not by the good you have done. You know what it is? It's the very fact that you have received the gift of Jesus from our Father God. What do I mean by that? How do you receive Jesus into your heart? Well, remember, we said that it's a gift that God has given us. And just like when anyone gives you a gift, what do you got to do? You got to receive it. You got to take it. You got to understand, when God gives it to you, your hands are out here, you take it from God, say, I receive this gift of eternal life. And you just put it right to your heart. Say, Lord, I receive this gift. Thank you, Lord. Because the Bible says, when you receive Jesus Christ, He makes your heart His residence. When you take Jesus, this precious gift of God, and put it right to your heart, and say, Lord, I'm living for you. Thank you, Father, for this gift. And as you take in this gift, you realize that you're not the same person anymore. When you know that Jesus Christ is alive in your heart. Because you know what? If a person could earn his way to heaven, then the death of Jesus was unnecessary. And the words of Jesus were worthless. Think about that for a second. Isn't that true? We can't earn our way to heaven. We just take it. And but we got to realize as we take it, put it in our heart, things have to happen. Things have to change. But it's not on your own effort. If you really got Jesus in your heart, you don't want things to be the same. You know God is going to transform you into that person He wants you to be. And when that transformation comes, oh, you're going to feel with the holy presence of God. You're going to have joy everlasting. You're going to have peace overflowing in your life. And it must be true. You got to be sincere about this decision for Christ. Here's the bottom line. Look what it says here in 1 John 5:11-13. It says here, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has what?
Life.
Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. It's very simple. You either have Him or you don't. You can't be in the middle. You got to say, I'm all for Jesus. Either you are or you aren't. You're going to make a decision. Are you going to say, Lord, it's all the way. I'm sold out. I'm all for you. Because Jesus says, for those who don't believe in him, they are condemned. And they're going to be eternally separated from God. If you don't accept Jesus Christ into your heart, and you die not knowing Jesus, not knowing God, you'll be forever eternally separated from him. But the good news is, he came and he did it for us. He suffered and he died for us on the cross so that we can spend eternity in heaven if we accept him as our Lord and Savior. The question is, have you received God's best gift? His best gift is his son, Jesus Christ. And if you haven't yet, man, don't wait any longer. Imagine, he's waiting to shower your life with his blessing. But we're just saying, okay, maybe someday. God is so ready and willing to just release it, to release these blessings upon your life. Make a decision to say, Lord, today is the day of salvation. We've got to open our hearts today and ask him, say, Lord, will you just take my life? I want to take your gift, Father. Will you just shower, Lord, your blessings upon my life, because I want to live for you. And when you can go to him like that, guess what God's going to do? I said, I've been waiting for you, child. Here I come. And just watch how your life will be so overly and abundantly blessed. You know, the Bible says in Romans 10:13, it says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, some people, they'll just say, you know what? If I just say, I believe in Jesus, because someone actually told me this. If I just say, I believe in Jesus, hey, I'm saved. Now I can go back to do what I want to do. All right, because that's what the Bible says. Call on the name of the Lord. Hey, Jesus. Okay, I'm saved. Okay, let me go back to my partying. Well, you know what? When he says, calls on the name of the Lord, it means to cry out in desperation to our Savior. That's what it means to call out the name of Jesus. When you call out the name of Jesus, are you crying out in desperation for a Savior? That's what it means. Because if you are truly serious, you're going to feel it in your heart. When you call out the name of Jesus, it's like your soul is just crying out for Jesus to save you from all the damage you have done in your life. That's what I done when I cried out to Jesus. When I came to the realization that my life is not going the way I wanted to go. And I cried out to him. That's calling on the name of Jesus. You guys see that? That's the true way of how God wants us to call out his name. Call out the name of Jesus in desperation. Realizing he's the only one that can save you from yourself. He's the one that can save you from eternal damnation. You have to realize that that's what our Father God does. He gives us so much because he loves us. Well, number two here, it says, offer the gift of God to others. To others. And you know, think about this. Why would I spend so much time talking about the way God gives gifts? And it's not just because it's Christmas time, but it's because of the fact, right? The Bible says to imitate God. And one good thing to imitate God is who he's giving. And we already know he's one generous God. So we should imitate him when it concerns our giving. And surely this is God's way of giving. Because that's what he does. As we talked about earlier, he gives different kinds of gifts. And he gives only good gifts. And he gives generously as he can. And he is motivated by love when he gives. And we say the same for ourselves. Are we motivated by love when we give to others? Or do we give grudgingly? Because we got to give like our Father God, right? It says we are to imitate him. And here's the thing. You may not be able to afford fancy gifts for people. And that's okay, because the issue isn't about the price tag. The issue is that we are to reflect his love when we give to others. That's the key thing. You don't have to go and get, you know, a nice red fancy car for someone, you know, or something. No, it's about the very fact you're giving out of your love for that person. I want you to think back to the introduction that I gave earlier, where I asked you to think of something that you hold dear, and how you would react if that person whose name you had drawn out wanted that very thing. Remember I asked you that earlier? And I remember I said that that person may have hurt you, may have neglected you, or even stolen from you. Well, remember me asking that question? Well, hold on to your hats, because I need to tell you that each one of us is that person. Pastor, what are you saying? How can you say that? Well, because here's the thing. We all have sinned against God Almighty. Because we have turned our backs on Him, we have lied to Him, and we have cheated and stolen from Him. And I know some people will go, oh, Pastor, that's not a nice thing to say. Well, I want you to look at this scripture here, James 2:10. Look what James says. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point, it says at just one point, is guilty of breaking all of it. Would you say I'm pretty accurate in guessing that there is nobody in here who hasn't broken at least one of God's law in their lifetime? Well, you're talking about, let's say, the Ten Commandments. Okay, have you ever lied? Have you ever stole something? Even as a kid now, if you take a cookie from the cookie jar when your mom said not to. Well, it tells us here, if you keep the whole law, but you just stumble at just one, you're guilty of breaking it all. See that? And yet, we have the audacity to ask God for eternal life. And what does God do? He gives it to us. Why? Because of His grace, because of His mercy, because of His great love for you and for me. And what did it cost Him? His most prized possession, His Son Jesus Christ. He didn't give a white elephant gift in exchange. No, He gave His most prized possession, His Son Jesus Christ. And He gives us His very best that He had to offer to sinners like you and me. And so, you know what? We should really put it in our mind, in our hearts, to find opportunities to talk to someone about this free gift. Because a lot of times the world, they forget, or they just refuse to accept the fact that this is a holiday that, especially as we Christians, have come to know as the birth of Christ. We got to tell them about the free gift that God has for them. Because, gotta tell you, this world is hurting, isn't it? It's lost more than ever. We gotta tell them, oh, God has this free gift for you. His Son Jesus, why don't you receive Him? So that you can have the peace like no other. The joy like no other. The love like no other. Not out of obligation now, but out of our love for God. We should be willing to do this. Can we make it a point? Find one or two people in the next couple of weeks that you can tell them about this free gift. And next week is our Christmas service. Can you tell someone about this free gift and invite them to come to our church so that they can hear the good news and that they can receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? You know, I once heard of this story about a boy named Tommy. You know, Tommy was only 6 years old, and when the church band began picking him up on Sunday's mornings, they picked him up at this housing project that he lived in. And he soon realized that the people at the church were different from those he normally spent time with. And after attending the church for almost 2 years, little Tommy began to realize his lost condition, because he was listening to the Sunday school teacher talk about, you know, about receiving God and listening to the pastor. And one Sunday morning before the service, he found the pastor and he asked him, so Pastor, what do I need to do in order to be saved? And he heard it over and over again, but he just felt like, I need to ask the pastor personally. So the pastor explained, and little Tommy gave his life to Jesus. He prayed the sinner's prayer, and he accepted Jesus into his heart. And during the offering that morning, when the plate was passed, and it came Tommy's way, you know what Tommy, little Tommy's 8 years old now, he places it on the ground, he places it on the floor, and he stood on it. And when the Usher saw that, he asked Tommy, "Hey, Tommy, what are you doing?" And you know what Tommy's reply was? Well, he said, "Sir, I don't have any money, so I give myself. I offer myself to him." What he says here in Romans 12:1, it says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer what? Your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." You've got to realize God gave his best to us. He gave his son Jesus. You make it a point that you're going to give your best to God this Christmas. Your best is to give your whole life, to give your heart to him, so that as you have received his gift, you're saying, "Lord, here's my gift, all of me unto you." And I want to conclude by telling you that, you know what, it's okay to receive gifts this holiday season, just like every Christmas, right? People give us gifts. But the whole thing about this, don't forget to receive the most important gift of all. What is it? It's Jesus. We've got to set our mind upon him. I want to show you this video that pretty much explains it all about the most important gift that we are to receive. Arthur, can you play that video, please?
Tick-tock, tick-tock, tick-tock. The tricky clock tick-tocking, each painfully long minute unlocking. The tumbly-jumbly can't close your eyes feeling. What will it be? When will it be? Oh, the anticipation, the watching, the wishing and waiting, to let the wiggles and giggles and goosebumps go. To find, to see, to finally know. What will it be? When will it be? Oh, the expectation, the what-ifs, the oh-my's fairly shaking, longing for this nice joy all year, that moment of hope so very near. Oh, what would they, could they, imagine a gift so great, a gift that compelled the whole world to wait. When a heavenly Father gave all mankind his Son, the one, love. The magic of Christmas is more brilliant, you see, than a bag or a box tucked under a tree. The true love of Christmas really began when holy God became holy man.
Joseph, it's time. He's here.
Praise God. I like that line where he says, the true love of God is when holy God became holy man. That's his gift to us. Will we receive it? You may say, "Oh, I already have Jesus in my life." But you know what? Receive Christ in his fullness in your heart. And as you celebrate Christmas, remember, it's all about him. It's not about us. And as we can just set our minds and hearts upon that, watch how blessed your Christmas will be, knowing it's not about us. It's all about you. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before our Father God? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message spoken today. And we give you praise, knowing, Father God, that you don't give us any white elephant gifts. No, you only give us your best. And I pray, Father, as we truly realize that today, I pray that all of us here in this room will say, "Lord, I give up my best unto you also. I give up my life fully unto you." And I just pray, Lord, as we come in this spirit, realizing, Lord, it's all about you and it's not about us. I just pray, Lord, that your hand will just come and just touch our hearts. Let it just touch our hearts in ways that we're going to realize we're being transformed. Every day, we're becoming more like Jesus. And that is what pleases you. This is the best gift we can give right back to you. saying, Lord, I offer all of me unto you. Now, as the Holy Spirit may be speaking to you right now, and you realize there's something in your life that's not true. You may say, oh, I'm a Christian, I go to church. But you know, you haven't been living a life that is truly reflective of Jesus Christ. And you know the Holy Spirit is just tugging at your heart, saying, it's time. It's time you really come to know me, child. You must come with a heart of total surrender so that I can truly bless your life. I can't bless you until I have all of you, until I have all of your heart. The Holy Spirit is speaking to you. Oh, don't fight it. Please, don't fight it. Say, yes, Lord, I hear you. I want to live a life that is truly reflective of your Son, Jesus. And if you know he's speaking to you right now, just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Changes are coming. I'm going to live a life that's pleasing to you. If you know he's speaking to you right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, say, yes, Lord, I'm surrendering to you. Can you raise your hand right now so I can pray for you? Hallelujah. No one else. Say, yes, Lord, I submit myself to you. Hallelujah. No one else. Praise God. You put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised. Most important than anything is the hearts behind those hands saying, Lord, I want to come clean. I want to be holy and pure. I want to be righteous before you. Lord, I repent of my sins. Lord, help me to sin no more. Help me to live a life that is true to you. Because I want to be blessed by your very hand. Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus Christ that as people have come to a point of surrender to you, I just pray, Lord, that they're going to continually walk into those paths that will lead to greater and greater blessings. And we just come against any form of attack from the enemy. In Jesus' name, we rebuke you, devil. And we cast you out. We cast you away from our brothers and sisters who want to make things right with God. And I just pray, Father, as you fill them overflowing of your goodness, they're going to walk in victory. They're going to see the blessing that will come in their lives. Father, I ask you now, Lord, that they will not listen to the voice of the devil anymore. They're going to listen to your voice that will bring forth the abundant life that you have promised. Father, we surrender it all to you. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in their lives. Because I know, Father, you love them so much. You love us so deeply. And we give you all the praises, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people talking about having a relationship with Father God, with His Son, Jesus Christ. What must I do? How do I get started? We can start off by praying a simple prayer, but it must come from deep within your soul, deep within your heart. And if you're wanting to say, yes, Lord, I want to receive you into my heart, into my life. I want to make you Lord over my life. And if you are ready, you are willing, and you're saying, Lord, I submit myself to you. Can you just raise your hand and say, yes, Lord, I'm ready. I'm giving my life to you as a gift for you. Can you raise your hand and say, that's me. Hallelujah. Anyone else? Praise God. I see your hand back there. Praise God. All right, you can put your hands down. Hallelujah. I want you to pray this prayer with me. I'm going to pray it out loud. And we're going to pray it all together as a family. But really mean it from your heart. Because if you just kind of recite it and you don't really mean it, it's just mere words. But as you say these words, know that Father God, He's listening right now. And He's going to welcome you into His family if you are serious about this prayer. And just repeat after me and mean it from deep within your heart. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I need you.
I need you.
I give you praise for who you are.
I
believe in you.
And
I believe in your Son, Jesus,
who
died for me on the cross. But on the third day, He rose again. And he lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord, and make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this so you can hear me, Father God, and so that everyone can hear me, and so that I can hear myself, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him, and I live for him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's all stand.